So over the past weeks, I've been thinking, have we forgotten the story? I shared with the staff, I'm preaching on John 20. Melissa said, that's Easter. Yeah, I know. Well, we already had Easter. Yeah, but I think some of our folks missed it. So we're going to try it again. Because, well, we're a church of the resurrection, not a church of the grave. We're a church of the resurrection. Amen. There you go. Yeah, church, not a church of the grave. Church of the resurrection. Yeah, and so when you think about what it means to be a church of the resurrection, what makes that different from just being a regular church? Preach on. That's right. Are we living and acting as though we are truly a church of the resurrection? In some ways, I think that question really begs for us to think about how we're living our lives now. How we are being church now. You know, the resurrection is just like this great burst of light. And it casts out all kinds of colors. And we can see the beautiful colors. And we see the power and majesty of God in the resurrection like we see in no other way. I think it helps to understand if you can just live it in your heart and think about what it would mean to see the risen Savior, to see Christ alive after the crucifixion. Yeah, this is where the disciples focused their faith and their trust in God once they realized the power of God. There was great power. And do you know what happened to each of those disciples? How did they live their lives? They lived in light of knowing that Christ was raised from the dead because we saw him with our own eyes. We are witnesses to this. To the point that each of these disciples gave their lives for Christ. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel like he was worthy to be crucified in the same way as Jesus. Think about it. All they would have had to do is deny the resurrection. That's all they would have had to do. No, it didn't happen. He didn't come back to life. He wasn't raised from the dead. But they didn't. I was talking to Dwight about this on Easter Sunday. He said, you know, the story of the disciples following the resurrection is incredible. Living their lives out knowing what they knew about Jesus Christ. That death did not capture him. Knowing the kind of suffering that he endured on the cross for us. And the fact that he conquered the cross to live again. The resurrection has a power in it, folks, that we've got to hold on to and cling to and trust in. Because life is going to let you down, folks. Life is going to have challenges, difficulties. This past week has really been something, hasn't it? And not only the death of Shelley's grandmother, but did any of you see the D-Day memorial stuff? Did you get a chance to watch some of that? Wow. That's sobering, isn't it? The kind of sacrifice that these men and women gave to their country to secure our freedoms. It's a sobering time. It's a challenging time, too, I think, as you look at the difficulties of the day. But this difficulty of the day doesn't define us. One way to think about the resurrection is how God makes all things new. And this is the power of God to do that. That God can make all things new. Shelley teaches a class on creativity. She talks about how we have to rethink things, how we have to look at things differently. God's always creating something new. But we don't see it that way. We tend to look at things in ways that we've always seen them, and we have a hard time envisioning this creative power of God at work in our lives, in our church, in our world. We have a hard time seeing the new. Anybody here think that computers would be something that everybody would have in their house? Anybody? What's that? Yeah, this is a computer lady. So, yeah, we got computers in the house. My stepfather worked for IBM. And IBM, you know what IBM did? IBM said, nobody is going to buy a home computer. That's what IBM said. All people need is a typewriter. And so we will keep on making typewriters. Let the others make the computers. Could IBM have made a computer? Mm-hmm. Did they? Mm-mm. They nearly did. Kodak Films said, nobody is going to need digital cameras. Kodak. Could Kodak have made a digital camera? Yeah, but they decided not to. Because not going to work. Nobody will want that. The world is changing in a rapid pace and new things are happening. And sometimes what ends up happening to us is we get stuck in a place where we don't move forward. We stay where we are comfortable and we think it's good enough. So did Kodak and so did IBM. But God is making new things, and God is doing new things, and there are new opportunities and new ways of thinking, new ways of being church, new ways of living into this resurrection power of Jesus Christ. There are new ways of living into your life. I think what happens sometimes is we get stuck in the way that we're living, and we think that's the only way. There must not be any way out. Shelley in her class teaches that there are 100 different possibilities for every solution. The team of people that are doing creative problem solving have to come up with 100 different solutions before they choose one. And she said all of them are good ideas. So whatever idea you have, you write it down, and there are post-it notes on all different solutions, all different ways of solving a particular problem. 100 different ways to solve the problem. 100 different solutions. And she said what happens is when somebody offers a solution, there's no bad ones. Quite often what that does is it spurs somebody else's idea about another possible solution. Or maybe we could do this, or maybe we could do that. And there are no bad solutions. You put them all out there, and then you whittle it down, and you come up with what's best. And she has a process that she teaches to do this. You can ask her about it later. She's done consulting work, and we worked with, guess what church? It was called the Church of the Resurrection. We met with the Church of the Resurrection. She consulted the staff on creative problem solving and actually took them through the process to help them to work towards some solutions that they were dealing with among some of their staff. I got to be with her and a part of the process. It's incredible. One of the issues they were talking about and they were trying to resolve. And one of the guys says, "Well, we could fire the pastor." And the pastor was there, and he said, "Yeah, but that's not a very good idea." And she said, "Yeah, but it is an idea." So we put it up there, you know, and he was sweating bullets, you know. Yeah, this is an idea. So you have all of the ideas, and you put it all out there. And then you work towards a solution, thinking about what God can do that might be different than something we've thought of before. Right? Could God do something different than what we've thought of? Huh? That's a resurrection church. In our world, everything is just the next thing. Everything is just one thing after another. Everything is happening by default. That's forbidding. That's a bleak world to live in, folks. But to believe in the resurrection is to believe in the creativity of God. Not clinging so much to the past because we don't really believe God can do anything new anymore. Really? Some, perhaps all of us at times, are waiting on the golden past to be recreated. I want to bring back what used to be because God can't do something new. Really? We do that with our world. We do that with our communities. We do that in our church. We're waiting for the church to return to a past that we associate with the good old days. How many of you were actually here during the good old days? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, 8 of you. We're here during the good old days. Okay? And Dwight, you don't even remember them because you were so young. I know. He claims to remember that. I don't know, Dwight. I don't. I know. And you were dressed in girls' shoes. I saw the picture. You look funny. What? Yes. Yeah, that's helpful. I appreciate that. Let me tell you, though, it requires very little faith to wait on a past that won't be recreated. And it's completely unnecessary because the resurrection is about God doing new things that nobody expected. Did you see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Anybody see that? Wonderful movie. It's a story about how people box themselves in. A little creativity starts to happen and some marvelous things start happening. The woman in the movie is from this large Greek family, and their expectations for her life are truly boxed in. The expectations are these, to say the least, rigid, oppressive. They want her to work in the family business. They don't want her to go to college. They want her to marry a nice Greek boy. They want her to remain a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. And of course, they want her to be a breeding machine for beautiful Greek children. And that's the life she's supposed to live. What happens is she opens herself to creativity. You know what she does? She goes to college. She leaves the family restaurant. She meets a wonderful young man who is waspish as they come. He's even willing to be baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church. Did you all see the baptism? It's one of my favorite scenes. It's in a children's swimming pool, and the priest baptizes. It's one of those inflatables. And they overcome obstacle after obstacle. Eventually, marry in a wonderful celebration, and the differences are bridged. understanding is experienced. It only happens because they're open to something new. They're open to something different. The resurrection points us to the essential reality of faith. God does new things, that we don't have to keep repeating the same mistakes or living with the same tired attitudes, that we can, with a little hope and a little imagination, that we can believe in God's creativity and that God's transforming presence can make a difference, both in your lives, in the church, in the world that we live in, that God has a power that is over the power that is sadness and gloom and despair. And it's transformative. Think for a moment. How did a cross, a sign of capital punishment in the ancient world, become a symbol of hope? Really? A sign of capital punishment in the world is now worn. How many of you have a cross? How many of you wear a cross? Anybody? Yeah, you wear, this means yes, I do. Yeah. Do you know what the cross is? It's the electric chair of its day. It was capital punishment in the worst form. It happened because the resurrection was and is the embodiment of God's power over death. It happened because God transformed this situation, as evil as it was, and made something good out of evil. God has the power to make good out of evil. God does it all the time. And the things in our life or the difficulties or challenges that we face in the workplace, God knows about these things. Can God help you to get through those challenges? By all means. God has the power to do good, even in the midst of difficult challenges. I want you to go with me this morning to a dingy hall. It's located in a rough neighborhood, Johannesburg, South Carolina. It's actually a nightclub of sorts. Rough neighborhood, and the poorest of the poor go there. Only something different happens when they go. They meet with friends. They spend an evening together. Saturday night, these African men who are oppressed all week long, hard jobs, kind of jobs that will break the body and the spirit. And this Saturday night, they put on their best suits, best clothes they've got. And they wear these colorful shirts, beautiful ties. They all have silk handkerchiefs in their pocket. Poorest of the poor. Their shoes are shined. Socks are bright, and they're often sporting a stylish fedora hat. You got a picture? And they show up on a Saturday night in Johannesburg, and they have a contest. And you know what the contest is about? Best dressed man. Best dressed. They vote. And the contestants call themselves the Kings of the African Night. Why do they do this? Why do they go to the trouble? One reporter asked one of the contestants, and this is what he said, "Because when I do this, I feel different. I feel important here. I walk out on stage and I walk tall. So we come into this place, and isn't that what God does for us? God lets us walk tall. God gives us a power and a strength and a courage that we otherwise wouldn't have. God gives us faith. God helps us to trust. You know, we can walk tall and be proud of all that God is going to do because we believe and know that God is going to do good things in our lives. God is going to do it. We get to share this life with others in this place we call church, and we're transformed from the deadly life that we're called to live to this life of thanksgiving and forgiveness, and we can move from bitterness and anger and frustration to a life of celebration and thanksgiving and blessing and power. Part of the hope that comes from the resurrection is a hope that this world, not just you, but this world is going to be transformed, you know? I don't think God will transform the world in spite of us. Maybe God will, but I doubt it. I do believe that God will transform the world through us. I have to tell you, these last few weeks, I've been struggling with this. But I think if we give resurrection a chance, that we might actually see new life. Because I believe that's what God can do. I believe that's what God does all the time. Let God transform us, change us. Let's be renewed in our faithfulness. And finally, you know, the last thing the resurrection tells us is that God's not just a divine God of creativity and transformation, but also a divine God of love. Because I think in the end, that's what it's all about. I was talking to a lady not long ago who had been a visitor in our church, and she had a near-death experience. She was in a coma for 9 months. And, you know, she said, I said, what do people ask you? She said, oh, they always ask me, did you see a bright light? You know, they want to know, did you see a bright light? You know what she said? I did. And she said, when I went into heaven, it was this bright light. And the first person that I met was my grandmother. She looked young. And there was a strange thing. I said, what was that? Said she was holding a baby. Really? Yeah, I thought that odd. I couldn't figure out why she was holding a baby, but she was holding a baby. 8 months later, I came out of the coma. My daughter, when I went into the coma, was pregnant with my first grandchild. When I came out, I said, where's the baby? She said, Mama, the baby didn't make it. She said, I told my daughter, it's okay. I saw your baby. Grandma's got her. And then she looked at me and she said, do you think I'm crazy? She said, I don't want to tell anybody about my experience because I'm afraid people will think I'm crazy. No. I say what you're talking about is something that none of us really understand. It has to do with the power of God. There are things that only God can do. And in the meantime, we just got to trust and believe and hold on. Not give up. She told me this too. She said, I'll just tell you what it was all about. What I felt while I was there. Just love. Just love. It's just love all around me. We could use a little of that in our world today, too, couldn't we? The resurrection points us to divine love, and divine love is everything, because you see, the other thing that happens is love calls your name. In this passage of Scripture, one of the most important parts of it is Mary recognizing Jesus when Jesus calls her by name. God's calling your name. I don't care what it is you're struggling with. It's not bigger than God. And God's calling your name. I am the resurrection and the life. He says, come to me. So regardless of what you're dealing with in life, in work, what challenges you may be facing, health issues, financial issues, emotional issues, whatever it is, He's calling your name. And I've got good news. He's not dead. He's alive. And He's right here with us. And I hope we'll never forget that. So that we can be a church of the resurrection, a people of the resurrection. Let's pray. We worship a risen Lord, and we believe, God, that You can conquer any challenge, any difficulty, any trial, that, God, You are bigger than anything that we can even begin to imagine. We look at life, and so often, Lord, we see the dying and the death and the suffering and the struggles and the challenges. And sometimes, God, we just want to give up. But You call us to not give up, to believe, to trust, to put our concerns in Your care, and to trust in the living God. And so, God, we come before You today. Whatever challenges we're facing, whatever trials we're dealing with, we place them, God, in Your care. We put our lives, our church, in Your hands, because You are the risen Lord, and You have the power to make all things new again. So we pray in the name of Jesus, the Christ, our Savior, our Lord. Amen.